we see with Gideon. We first found Gideon, he was hiding, remember? He was hiding. Then when God first appeared to him and told him what he wanted to do, Gideon said, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm ready to go, right? No, what did Gideon do? He had a bunch of excuses. He had a bunch of reasons why he wasn't going to do it. And how similar that is to many of us many times. God comes to us, God shows us what he wants us to do, and we have reasons and excuses not to do it. Just as you have parents and individuals that come to you and ask you to do something, how many of you come up with reasons why you can't do it? You're told to make your bed, clean your room, do those things. You come up with reasons why you can't, right, Kevin? And you come up with the reasons why you can't do that. I have to use the restroom. That's one of my kids' favorite things when they're asked to do something. They automatically have to go to the bathroom. Have any of you else seen that? Or, my leg hurts. You were just running outside, you were fine, but now your leg hurts and you can't pick up a toy. All right, so there's those things, but we come up with excuses ourselves. But then we see God finally got a hold of him. Then he was going to go and do it. He had someone else come alongside him, remember? He had to have someone come with him. Someone went alongside him. They were going to do it. They were going to accomplish this. Then God says, you have too many. Man, I tell you, sometimes we look at what we have in our resources and we don't think we have enough. And God says, you have too much resources. You don't need all that. And so God eliminates some of the resources. God eliminates the numbers. He brings them down to a small group of people. And that small group were to follow God's plan, and he used those different tests that we looked at. God sends them out. God gives them the victory. We understand that they take the heads of those two and give the heads, and we talked about what that signified and what that meant. But then what happened? There was a group that we looked at last week that were upset. Remember? We are an important part of Israel, and you didn't ask us. You just want us to do the aftermath. You want us to do the after part. You didn't ask us to do the important job. And we talked about how sometimes in ministry and in a church, people don't want to do the little jobs or the small jobs in their mind. They want to do the important job because don't you know who I am? Don't you know how much money I give to the church? Don't you know how long I've been a member of the church? But God has a plan and purpose for all of us, and we need to be thankful for the position and the place God wants us to do in our lives. Now, Gideon's a very interesting character because we see two sides of Gideon a couple different times. We saw that in the beginning. Now we're going to see a flip-flop here. In this portion that we're looking at this morning, you're going to see Gideon react two different ways in a short matter of time. Now, we've said this before. It is important how we start a race, but it's just as important how we finish the race. All right? Starting the race is important. If you don't start well, you're not going to end well. But you can start well and still not end well. It's just as important how you start and how you finish. Everything else in between is important as well. Every aspect of it plays a role, plays an importance. Now, we have a couple in here that are insane. One's more insane than the other one. But they like to run. They like to run. Now, one does it more as a casual, fun training exercise. That the other one wants to torture his body even more and do ridiculous things in that. But let me ask both of them, because both will understand this. You start off well, you're running well, and you get a leg cramp. Even though you stretched, even though you drank your water, even though you hydrated hours before, you did everything you needed to do, you did all the proper stretches, and you get a leg cramp. What does that leg cramp do while you're trying to run? Now, you try to push through it. Why? Because you don't want to stop. Because if you stop, then you think you're going to get behind. Now, what is the best thing to do, though? Okay, bring sodium tablets. And that should help. Eat your banana, right? Get your potassium in. All right? The best thing to do is to take a stop and to restretch it out will be more effective, and you will then be able to finish that race better than if you try to just push through that pain and that, because you're actually going to slow yourself for a longer period of time than you would if you just took the time to do what you needed to do. I want us to see this. In our Christian life, we're a lot like Gideon. We have our strengths, we have our weaknesses, we have both sides of our characters. Sometimes we start right, but we're running and we get the leg cramp. All right? We get that there. And you know what we do? Instead of stopping and taking care of the issues, taking care of the problems, so we can finish successfully in God's sight, we try to push through it. All right? There are many believers that try to push through it, and they don't deal with the problem. They push through the problem. And what happens is, eventually they have to deal with the problem anyways. And what do the whole time? They slow themselves down because they didn't take the time to get things taken care of, just as we gave that illustration. Now let's look at some things here on both sides of this. Look at verse 22 of chapter 8, Judges chapter 8. As we look at this, I want you to see some areas today that he shows both sides of his character. Brother Jamie, could you read verses 22 to 23 of Judges 8, please? Judges 8, 22 and 23, please. Okay, look at verse 22. The men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us. What does that word rule mean? Anyone know? What's that? Want to be the king or have dominion over us, all right? They are offering Gideon and his family a kingdom. They want to lift Gideon up and put Gideon in a place of rule. Now, let me ask you as we look at this, why would this not be a good thing? Why is this an issue? Hey, he was a leader. Hey, he led the people. Now they want to follow the people. Okay, and we're going to look at that as even Gideon's response. They're giving Gideon the glory, not God the glory. Now, the people of Israel are just like people of every age, right? The man that can give them what they want, peace and security and wealth, they want to put that person in a place of authority over their lives because they think that's going to be their savior, right, Jamie? Instead of trusting the Lord, they're going to trust someone that's going to give them what they want, that peace, that stuff. How many remember the feeding of the 5,000? When Jesus fed the 5,000, what did the crowd want to do? They wanted to force Jesus, even at that time, to what? To become their king. Because why? They fed and they took care of them. But Jesus slipped away. We know the whole story there. But isn't that interesting? And that's done throughout the Bible days. But it's also done, as Jamie brought up, in our day and age. Where just because you get your wants and your things taken care of, that's who people want to put in power because, man, I don't have to rely on myself. I don't have to rely on God. I don't have to rely on anyone because this person's going to take care of me. This is the Now, I want you to get this. Socialism has always been around. All right? I don't want to get too political, but we're going to hit this in a little bit. Socialism has always been around, even back in the Bible days. Because as long as the people's needs were met, they would allow that person to be in leadership or authority because they didn't have to take care of things and they had things given to them. Now, you look at some of the kings that were considered great kings and great rulers. Now, I'm trying to be careful on this, but you most of the time, what made people consider them to be great? Was it what they did really for the country and in regards to wars and stuff? Sometimes. But what did it really have to do with Isaac? Yeah. So there, I'll get to you in just a second, JB. There's a statistic out there that people were asked who one of their favorite presidents were. Now, it's going to blow your mind who this is. Anyone have a clue who one of the favorite presidents were? What's that? It was just recently. Not Ronald Reagan. Not Donald Trump, not Obama. And they were asked, why Obama? Do you know why Obama was? Because Obama gave money. Obama gave money, and he was one of the first ones to really give money to people. And he gave, and I don't remember, it wasn't that much, if you remember. It was a small amount. What's that? Yeah. So they gave money out to everybody. That was one of the first times. They gave money for housing. They gave extra money for unemployment. He gave all this, and that was the reason that he was, and they asked him, what did he do? What was his policies? The same people said he was the greatest had no idea what he did on his policies. They asked him what he pushed or what he accomplished besides the money. No one knew. The reason they was a great leader, and they would have followed. Do you know most people said if he could have ran again, they would have voted for Obama again. Now we sit back and go, no way, no how. But they would have because of what? They gave. Now it is interesting. I know a lot of people do not like our current president. But do you know there's still people that don't agree with everything he wants? Said he's not that bad because they're getting the money, the stimulus, and that. It has nothing to do with all the other stuff that has happened. It has to do with it's been around. Why do you think countries do switch to socialism? Now, what happens when they do? Look at Venezuela. Look at some other countries. What happens when they do? It falls apart because it's relying on a government. Now, Ronald Reagan said something about the government. Anyone know what Ronald Reagan said about government? Should be reduced? Yeah, so he basically said government needs to put themselves, get out of the homes, get out of our lives. And he was government, we understand that, but he had a proper thing. And he says we need to put God back in that place. And that's the whole idea, but we don't have that today. Socialism has come. Now, some of you say, well, that never happened in this country. Well, it started. All right, we're not fully full socialist, but I'm telling you that flavor has started to come in to our country, and people are getting used to it. Do you know 80% of people polled are asking for another stimulus? 80%. Now, wait a second. Now, we see what's happened to inflation. Again, I'm not trying to be too political today, but we need to cover this a little bit. 80% of people say we need another stimulus. But look at how much milk costs today. Look how much bread costs today. Inflation's going to happen. It's going to get in place. Look at your gas prices. Now, understand why that gas price is there. It's not just inflation. It's because of the closing of the pipelines. I understand all that. But look what's happening. That's getting to that place of that socialism. Now, they want to make him the rule over him. And thy son, both I, over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. We want to set up a perpetual kingdom based upon Gideon. Now, who was supposed to rule Israel? This is important. I want you to get this. Who was supposed to rule Israel? God was supposed to rule Israel because what did God tell them? They went and they wanted a king, right? And God says, no. And they kept going and finally they got a king and look what happened, all right? We could go through and that's a whole other teaching there. But they were giving him a perpetual kingdom. Do you know what's interesting? You know why Gideon couldn't do that or why Gideon shouldn't do that? You know what made it wrong? Because they weren't supposed to have a king. God was supposed to rule their lives. Yes, we're going to get into that. The majority doesn't rule, all right? It's usually the minority that's correct. Now, not all the time is the minority correct either. You got to make sure you line up with Scripture. What did it say again? Why the majority? I have to look that up. But the idea is the majority is not. So what does he do? They want him to be king. They even say your sons and your son's sons will be king. And your family's going to rule Israel forever and ever. Isn't it interesting? Now we're going to hit this a little bit this morning, how temptation works. All right? How temptation works. And it's not usually something given to us that we... that does not stroke our ego, if you will, all right? And there's three areas we're going to look at that this morning that those attacks come in regards to temptation, in regards to that. Now, look what they said too. For thou hast delivered us. Gideon, we want to do this because you're the one that gave us victory. Wait, there's a problem there, is it not? Because who gave them the victory? God gave them the victory. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many times have God given us the victory, but we think we've done it? What's some examples of that? Where we think we've got given us the victory. For thou hast given us the victory. Gideon, you gave us the victory. Anybody else? Isaac, then Jamie? Very good. Jamie? Well, yeah, and that's a great illustration of that, too, is God's provided it. Yes, God's given me the ability to be able to sell or be able to talk to people and be able to help them purchase things. But it's God that's provided that person to me. that is going to buy that, because there's a lot of people that are in positions of sell that are not doing well in this day and age, all right? Now, for a while, everyone was on the very high. But do you know a lot of it is going down in the sales in that area? Why? Because of the inflation, the cost, the different things. People are trying to be wiser with their money at this point, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. Most everyone in this room, your grocery bill's gone up at least two times of what you were paying. Just a year or so ago, it's gone up about two times. And you haven't bought anything different. You probably even bought less. And it's still two times the amount what you were spending. And now, instead of buying name brands, everyone's buying Walmart brand, all right? But even Walmart brand is more than what you were paying before for the name brand, all right? So it's gone up. And those that are paying for Walmart brand, there's no other choices, because even dollar store has gone up, all right? And so everything's gone up. You can still get Crest toothpaste in the little plastic containers that Walmart charges almost $5 for now, for $1.25, still at Dollar Tree, just so you know. And so, what's that? $1.25 store. It's not a dollar store anymore, $1.25. And so you see this. Now look at this. Look at verse 23. Gideon responds rightly. Now, aren't you glad Gideon responded rightly? But as soon as Gideon responds rightly, we're going to see another temptation comes, and Gideon doesn't respond rightly, because Gideon does something. Now, isn't it interesting? On the edge of victory, there's always a temptation to not to do right again. I tell you, many times in my life, and you've been there, is there's times that you just seem like victory after victory after victory, and it's great. But every time you have that victory, something hits you. Something comes. And you don't have to give in to that temptation, but it's right around the corner. I've said this many times. When something great happens, even in a church, be ready, because something's going to come against us. Something's going to happen. Something good, not good, is going to come. And it's how we respond to that, right? Because it's going to come, Jamie. Yeah, since I've had some big victories, this small defeat's not that big a deal. And we can kind of wash it out a little bit. It's this idea. Dave, you understand this one. It's this idea. I have to be careful how much sugar and how much of that I have. So if I go a whole week because I'm watching what I eat and I don't have any sugar, that means on Saturday I can eat a couple strawberry rhubarb pies with real sugar in it. I can eat a key lime pie and with real sugar in that. And it's going to be okay, because the rest of the week I didn't have any of it, right? I'm going to run it off anyways, right, Dave? You're going to run it off. Now, the idea is this. How does that work? That doesn't work, does it? But a lot of times we look at the victories we've had and say, well, those offset our defeats. It doesn't. It's not a big scale, all right? And it's not that idea there. Now, his response is great. Gideon responds right. And I pray and I wish each of us would respond right every time, but do we? Because we're going to see something here in a minute. And Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. And he didn't just say no. He gave a reason. And I want to say this. I believe that's important when we have victory in our lives, when temptation comes. That we don't just say, no, I can't do this. No, this, that, is that we give a reason why we can't do it. I think it's important. Now, it's not, please understand what I'm saying. It's not that the kids should argue with you, because they should not argue with you. But I do believe it's very important. Now, sometimes it's they understand and they already know and you don't have to. But I think it's a lot of times we miss as parents because we just say no to something and we don't give them a teaching behind it, a reason behind it. Well, just because I'm your parent, that's why. That's great. But the problem is this. When they're out on their own and they're tempted with this, and they just say no to this, they need to know why they're saying no, because the temptation is going to keep coming. Now, we're going to hit this. I don't want to get too far in this, because we're going to hit this morning, because the last piece of armor we're going to look at goes hand in hand with this, and we're going to even keep this illustration in your mind, because we're going to use this a little bit this morning as well. But we have to be able to give a reason to this, so they have a reason when that temptation comes to them individually, they're able to give an answer back and say, this is why I can't do this. Not because mama said so, daddy said so, but this is what the Word of God says. Jamie? And that's an excellent point. There's a lot of reasons the world says you should do this. We need to have the right reasons back why we can't do this. And that's why the Bible says, be ready to every man that asks to give him an answer, to answer back, to be able to give that. And we need to be able to give an answer back and what that answer is. And we need to know why. And what does he say? I can't rule over you. My sons can't rule over you, because the Lord is supposed to rule over your life. No man is to rule over your life. It's better to obey God than man. There's only one commander in chief of our life. There's only one master. And who's that master? God. And so he is supposed to be King Jesus of my life, right? He's supposed to rule and reign in my life. That's why I can't be your ruler. God is to be your ruler. Let me ask you this. What does it mean, God, to be your ruler? Now, this is a, there's a lot into that. But what does it mean? And what does it mean more specifically to you and to me, that God is our ruler? Now, we understand in this world and how that plays, and we ultimately understand, even if people don't believe that there's a God, God is still their ruler. They're going to have to, every knee and every tongue will confess and bow before Jesus. We understand all that. But let's get specifically. How is God, for the believer, to be our ruler? Okay, by seeking him first, by putting him in that place, by having the proper priorities, and that should affect things and put him as the ruler of our life. So since God's always faithful, we need to trust him and trust him by letting him rule and reign our lives, because he doesn't make a mistake. He knows what is best for our lives, and we need to trust him. Very good. Any other thoughts? How else do we make him the king of our lives, the ruler of our lives? It has to do with, go ahead. it's a heart issue. It's giving hurt. It has to do with this idea of submitting ourselves to Him. It is allowing ourselves to be broken in the sense that we realize how little we are and how great He is. And for Him to truly rule and reign our lives, it means that we surrender, submit ourselves to God and allow God to be God in our lives. Not us to be God in our lives. Now, most of us in this room would say, well, none of us can be God. Yes, we know that. But how many of us try to make ourselves God? Oh, we're not like a religion out there that think we can become gods. But in our own lives, we try to make ourselves God. We try to make our thoughts the last thing, right? What we think is most important in our lives. What we want is what, no. We must surrender ourselves, submit ourselves to God, and allow God to rule, and put ourselves way far away from any of those decisions, and that God has to make those decisions. If God is going to rule and rule over us, it's not what I want. It's not my feelings. It's not my emotions. It's not what my agenda is. It's allowing God to truly rule in my life. So if God's truly ruling and I'm truly surrendering, how does that play? How does that affect? What does that do with every decision I make? What does that do with every activity I'm involved in? What does that do with everything that comes out of my mouth? Isaac? Amen. Very good. Anyone else? else? Any other thoughts? Very good. So we'll end there, and we'll pick up and see the other side of the coin of what Gideon now asks for. It's interesting. He says, no, I don't want to rule over you, because God is the one that's supposed to rule over you. But then he switches. He doesn't want to rule, but then he asks for something. And so we're going to look at that and how that is comparable to our life sometimes. We have part right, but then we get this other part wrong. And how does that? So we're going to pick that back up next week. And I tell you, what Gideon is facing is what many of us struggle with in our lives. And I think there's a lot of truths that we can glean that can help us to have complete victory in our lives. Anybody else? Any other thoughts? All right. Dave, would you mind closing us in prayer, please?